This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
In a galaxy far, far away, a brother and sister search for their missing parents.
How are we going to find them?
We will. Don't worry.
And fate leads them to the magical Ewoks.
We help you.
Now, a great adventure begins.
You hear that?
Let's get out of here.
It's an action-packed motion picture featuring incredible special effects from the award-winning team of Industrial Light and Magic.
That's Mommy and Daddy.
Sometimes when you search for the impossible, an unbelievable adventure unfolds.
I wish we had furry creatures like you where I came from.
Don't miss The Ewok Adventure. Now on video cassette from MGM UA Home Video.
Oh boy, we're doing it. We're doing it. It's another episode of Newcomers. I'm Nicole Byer.
And I'm Lauren Lapkus, and we've never seen Star Wars, which is now a full lie. We've seen all of Star Wars and more than most people, I think.
I think we've seen too much of Star Wars, actually. It's upsetting.
I can't believe what we're talking about today. I'm not happy. I'll say that much.
Me either.
I'm not happy.
It's awful. I had such a bad time.
I did too. I can't wait to get into it because I think our guest is going to be hilarious, but I just couldn't believe the amount of time spent and just everything. You know, we do a lot for you people out there in the world. Like, we are putting in the time. So if there's part of you that wants to complain about this podcast, we are putting in hours to make
these
episodes.
Hours and hours. I fell asleep. I had to wake up, rewind, watch again, and it still didn't make any sense to me. We watched the Ewok movies.
Oh, my God. There are two of them. They're from 1984. Oh, my God. Well, okay. I'm going to give you a little Hoth goss before we jump into our guest. Apple Podcast has featured Newcomers as a For the Fans podcast about movies. So that was really exciting.
Yes.
I'm pumped about our little shout outs we've been getting lately.
It's been very nice. You know, we were worried in the beginning that people were going to be mean and hateful and tear us down, but everyone has been very nice and kind to us.
I know. It actually was like one of the most surprising turn of events, I feel like. I thought that this was going to be the way that we started to get hate mail. And it's not. So I feel good about that.
It's very nice. Well, we should introduce our guest. Oh boy, you love him. He's sexy. He got muscles. He's also so funny. He was on NBC Sunnyside. He hosts the new Singled Out on Quibi. It is Joel Kim Booster.
Oh my God. I'm so mad at both of you. I've never been more furious. You guys don't understand how deeply I when Nicole and I talked about this, about coming on, I love Star Wars. I told Nicole, I said, I love Star Wars. I've read probably scores of the books meant for children and adults, seen every movie. And then I realized that you had been doing the podcast for so long. And where I thought, like, maybe I'd get, like, a Rogue One or a Solo, a Star Wars story. Some, you know, even that is bad. But this, next level.
This is next like level. So had you ever seen these?
So I we'll get to it, but I have such vivid memories of seeing the sequel. I did not know there were two.
There shouldn't be.
I have such vivid memories of I remember like where I was sitting and the scenes that I remembered, like when they popped up on screen, I was like, oh wow. And I remember watching this movie and I remember enjoying this movie as a child, which means I guess I was a dumb kid because there's not a whole lot to enjoy in the 3 hours of content that we watched.
I kept imagining my nephews watching it with me and thinking, well, maybe the little one would like this. He's like four. Like he might be like, whoa, this is scary. This part's cool. Like I was trying to see it through his eyes, but I kept closing my own eyes.
I gotta tell you, Nicole, you shouldn't have rewound anything. I got up several times to leave the room and
yeah, me too. I didn't stop
and
it.
Come back. I would not pause. I have to say that, like, thinking about your nephew watching it, thinking about my nephew watching it, here's the thing. I think they bang, like, at a certain point, they stop being cute.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at them for too long,
yeah,
it becomes actually upsetting. Jarring and bizarre and yes. not fun to see anymore.
The teeth are my biggest complaint.
The teeth are sick. I just watching the movie several times, I would look up and be like, why is any of this happening?
I do like how you said watching the movie, I would look up and wonder why. So yeah, it was hard to focus on this. It was really hard. I got carpal tunnel last night.
What's the main one? Twitter? What is his name? Tweezy?
Oh, wait. Tweedles.
Tweedles or?
Wicket.
Wicket. Wicket. Wicket. Wicket. Wicket.
My best friend. They should do a Wicked parody with Wicket.
Wicket. I will say Wicket is cute, that but I would here's, like. It's so weird because you don't realize until you spend a full movie just looking at these creatures that their faces do not move.
They don't
move
at all.
They're stuck in a mask of horror. Like, it is so, so weird to watch.
Okay, let's tell a little bit about this. Oh, wait, first yes. I want to hear, actually, before I do that, I want to hear more about your background with Star Wars. Okay. And like, because you love it. Mm-hmm. So you're a fan. So your whole life?
And you've seen all the movies?
I've seen every, now I didn't know the first one of these existed. I've seen the Wookiee Christmas special too. Like
that one I love.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you gotta, it's all for me great. I really like, I loved this series. Every Friday we would watch we recorded it off of like TNT on VHS. before the remaster had come out. And every Friday we would watch as much of it, all three of them as we could, me and my brother and my sister.
Wow.
And so like I go in deep. I was like the right age during the prequels to semi-enjoy the prequels enough. I think that it is definitely like the books were a huge thing for me in high school through college, through my early 20s. I was still
what are the books?
Yeah, what are these books?
So this is the thing. This is the expanded universe. The Star Wars expanded universe in books and comic books is all canon. So there was like 3 decades worth of books that came out that started after Return of the Jedi and was basically about Luke starting the Jedi Order again and like Leia, like creating a government from scratch. And for 30 years on into Han and Leia getting married, having twins, having a third son that they named Anakin, like Luke marrying an evil Sith lady that becomes reformed named Mara Jade Skywalker. They have a son that they named Ben Skywalker, like literally. And then all the way up until like, I believe the latest ones that came out, like the twins were getting married. One of the, like much like in the movies, one of Leia and Han's, the twin, her, the boy twin turns evil and they have to kill him. Like, she like they're like in their 30s basically. And then when Disney bought Star Wars, they said all of that not a part of official canon anymore, which of course like to me was devastating, but none of it's real.
Didn't Disney like have a decree?
Yes, they came out and people were furious. Disney had a decree, came out with a decree, because all of the Force Awakens was coming out and it was doing the same thing that the books basically did. And instead of taking stories from the books, they're like, we're wiping it away. We're doing our own thing. All of the books, not canon anymore. And that was like the phrasing of it. It was like, these aren't canon. And people were so mad.
That's so final to be like, it's just not canon.
Yeah.
It's,
and I was like, well, then I literally, I'm looking at the books that I have on my bookshelf right now, like 30 some odd books.
Can you show us one?
Yes, please. Yeah. Let's see.
I don't have any idea what this would look like.
I only know about that book. Like, I think it's a fake book cover that people keep tagging us in on Twitter, where it's like a romance novel.
Yeah. So this is one, Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Edge of Victory 2. It's part of a 2. And that's Luke and his wife.
Show us the font size.
Yeah.
Can I see the font size?
Oh, the font size is.
It's a book, Lauren. I did. Did you think it was going to be huge font?
It's not for children. It's meant for adults. Okay.
But the cover looks like Animorphs. So I was like, show I bet you it's got like big font.
Show me the font. I feel so dirty now.
No, that's cute. That's really cute.
Yeah.
The cover does look like a young adult Animorph. What is it? Animorphs?
Animorphs.
Animorphs is a good analogy.
That's what it looked like.
But I encourage everyone to look up the Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Edge of Victory 2, Rebirth. Wow, so many titles. by Greg Keyes, and you can see what we're talking about. But yeah, I was like super into all of it. And I'm devastated by what happened to the series with these new Star Wars movies, honestly.
Oh, so you don't like the back three?
I don't like the back. Three.
Oh, we like some
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, we like them. I
saw them. Now, keep in mind, I've seen them all opening weekend, some of them multiple times. I really love Rogue One. Rogue One is my favorite of the newer Star Wars movies. But I think it was a little, I think the new ones are a little clunky. Like, I think Force Awakens is just a beat for beat remake of A New Hope. I think that the Rise of Skywalker was fine to good. Although the whole entire like dramatic tension of Rise of Skywalker is a ship going very slowly, just very slowly moving, slow moving ship. Yep. And that every time they would do an establishing shot of that slow moving ship, I was like, this is the movie. But if Laura Dern,
oh my God, if they could make like the all the movies into Quibi length episodes, where you just get the main point. Oh my God.
Because all the movies are too long. They're all like 2 hours.
I don't need to watch the slowest ship. Yeah.
But I also don't like that they walked back. I liked the twist that Rey's parents were nobody. And then I didn't like that they walked that back because it felt like cowardly to me. And honestly, I would have loved if they revealed that Rey's mother was Sindel.
Oh my
like,
God.
They're just Sindel's a throwaway a line of like, movie. Yeah, my mom, she was raised by Ewoks. had a really Sindel? Traumatic childhood. saw her entire family sort of wiped out by this alien race and then was raised and by Ewoks.
Was also fine about it.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was totally so fine.
She couldn't cry. Okay, we need to talk about this movie. Okay, so Caravan of Courage, an Ewok adventure. This is the first Ewok movie. It was released November 1984. The story is by George Lucas, which I thought was interesting.
Can you even?
He's bad.
He's so bad at storytelling. Yeah. It is so wild to me that he created this thing with such longevity.
Yeah.
But like him himself can't do very much. He's bad. Yeah.
The plot is, it doesn't take long to explain it.
No.
But we can jump in with all our thoughts about this movie. The Tawani family civilian shuttlecraft crashes on the forest moon of Endor. The four Tawanis are separated. Jermit and Katarine,
these
the mother
names.
And
these
father.
Are white people. What the fuck? Jermit and Katarine?
Okay.
The mother and father are captured by the giant Gorax, which
is just a big Ewok.
Yes.
It's just a big
It's the
Ewok.
Biggest Ewok.
And Mace and Sindel.
And I gotta say, Mace. What
Mace
an awful
Windu?
Actor.
Do you think Mace Windu is from that?
But
wait, no
but
Mace Windu's black.
No,
Mace
but I mean the name, black. Like the reusing of the name.
Oh, maybe. Like, but you know they didn't even audition this boy. They just said, oh, that boy looks like Mark Hamill. You're in.
That's what I thought. I was like, he looks like Mark Hamill and he's dressed like him.
Yeah.
He was not.
So bad.
Such a terrible actor.
Oh, God. And what's crazy is in some of these later movies, if you're not good, they will come for you for years to the point where you don't act ever again.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that happened here.
I don't think enough people saw this.
No. I mean, it was so much of the dialogue felt improvised when he said it, because I think he just like couldn't, like the one part where he fell in the lake. And then they got him out and he was like, I was looking in the lake and now I'm here.
He did that so many times where he would like repeat the same thing. Like, he's like, it's just a rock. I don't know what's going on inside of this, but it's just a rock. And I'm like, you forgot that you already said that part.
Yeah.
And then when he was like, food, eat. And I was like, they're Ewoks. They don't understand you.
Or when he was like, medicine, she needs more medicine.
Yeah. This is the problem with this first movie that is insane to me, is they have to center your movie around a species that cannot speak English, or basic as it's referred to in the Star Wars universe.
They call it basic?
They call English basic?
Basic, yes.
That's English pretty rude.
We haven't heard that. Basic. That's hilarious.
And at the beginning, they have like this, I was so stoned when I watched this. I should have been. At the beginning, when they had this like David Attenborough like narration, because the Ewoks aren't speaking English, so you don't know what's going on. I was like, oh, this is just like Planet. I was like, maybe this movie will just be like Planet Earth, but with Ewoks. And like that would be kind of fun.
I had that hope too. And it was Burl Ives doing the narration. And I think he did all the like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all the. Mm-hmm. So there was like a really comforting feeling to that. And I thought that'll be nice, but then
he goes away for so long.
He didn't really do anything, so that was weird.
They lose. Like, I'm sorry, but the last thing I want to watch in a movie is a toddler trying to teach a fucking dog how to speak English. And that is that's what this movie, like, that's 90% of this film is that fucking toddler girl Sindel like repeating words to Wicket.
It's so true.
And we find out it pays off.
It does ultimately pay off. They basically speak English. Yeah. They speak basic very soon.
Yeah.
Okay, Mason Sindel, who are the son and daughter of these parents, are missing when they're captured. So the next day, the Ewok Deej is looking for his two sons, which he flies on that fucking...
He flies in this thing, and then the rope breaks, and then it breaks again. And I was like, these bitches need better rope. What is happening on Endor that nobody has good rope?
He gets on that like what do you call it? Hang glider that he like made out of like, you know, deer skin or something, and like flies. It's crazy. Okay. And then they find, so that Ewok is looking for his sons, and he finds Sindel all alone in the shuttle. So Mace and Sindel were looking for the transmitter to send a distress call when Mace appears with his emergency blaster.
And he's real aggressive with these Ewoks.
Oh, right, he hates them. He's like, get away
so
from
mean.
Them.
I'm like, you have no one to help you.
Yeah.
They live here. Like,
now, I have a question for you guys. Did it seem to you as though Sindel's mouth was wet for most of this movie? Like, didn't she seem like there's like a wet quality to her face and mouth region that was so discerning.
Yeah. But like wet and dry, because her hair was so dry. I was like, why is there no moisturizer in this child's curly hair?
Yeah.
Sometimes it seemed like it was like a wig.
Yes.
And other times it clearly wasn't. But it was just she was very cute. And she reminded me of Drew Barrymore when she was little.
Yes. They were clearly going
for E.T.
Mark Hamill, Drew
Barrymore.
That's
what I was wondering. And did E.T. come out before this or after this? Because I thought it was like so E.T.-like.
It's,
I'll look up.
E.T. I have in my mind looking very expensive. And this movie could have been made on TikTok with an iPhone.
Guys, E.T. came out 2 years before this. So they totally ripped off.
They were absolutely going for Drew.
Yeah.
He probably made this girl drink alcohol like Drew too, just to get that. Maybe that's why her mouth was so wet the whole time.
She was just drunk the whole time.
There were scenes where she was walking through and I was like, she's like Shirley Temple. This is like definitely abuse on some level. Like, she's being told she's going to be the next famous thing. We never heard from her again.
These are the only two movies she ever did.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Now, I'll say, and I don't want to get too much into the sequel, but I do think she gets a lot better in the sequel.
She does. She's more confident.
I think she does. And it's only a year difference. And I think it is, it looks, there's a lot to say about the sequel, but let's, we can stay on this. I think, I mean, she's obviously trash in this first one. She's absolute trash. It like doesn't even matter that you don't know what the Ewoks are saying because she's not saying anything either.
No, it's true. Mm-hmm. So eventually the 4-year-old Sindel is able to convince the teenage Mace that the Ewoks are nice. And then the Ewoks and the Tawanis go on an adventure to find the elder Tawanis, which every second of this was like
awful. They walked in the desert for so long. Like, what is George Lucas's obsession with shots of people just walking through deserts? I don't get it.
It's really, yeah. Like, I was frustrated at the beginning because it was like watching Parasite. Like, you couldn't look down at your phone because you couldn't understand.
Yes, because you really had to watch.
It's such a visual movie. But then there's no subtitles either. So you don't really, it doesn't
Which
matter.
Which made zero sense. I was like, but I just want to know what these fucking Ewoks are saying. And then much like the Christmas special, like the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, when you see the Ewoks, they're just like, it's like a day in the life of an Ewok. Whoever wanted to see that?
I think that was the part I was excited about. But then the story really bothered me. And I felt like they kept just having random things happen to make it seem exciting. But there was like, like, if I looked away and I looked back, something else was totally different. Like, now they're in a lake. Now they're doing this.
Now there's a fairy. Now there's a fucking Peter Pan, Tinkerbell.
That was wild.
That was so crazy. That thing dancing, that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was so fake. Mm-hmm.
It was the one part in the movie where I was like, maybe I left the room for too long. Like, I was like, did a plot sort of coalesce while I was making dinner?
The answer is no.
And then truly, I did sort of scan back and I was like, oh no, this is just a series of hijinks strung together by walking.
That's all it is. Like, that's all it is. There was no reason for anything to happen. Yeah. It just was like, we need something weird now. And honestly, then like they would do it.
I gotta say, this movie was fully exhausting. Mm. I was spent, tuckered out, tired, ready for bed at the end of this.
I had a huge headache from watching it. And I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
I really did. I was like, I can't.
Crazy thing with like the lake and the fairy of it all is that like there's no attempt at making it seem like an alien planet. Like at one point they're straight up just riding horses. And I was like, really? There's just straight up horses on this planet.
But they mount them weirdly. He flew onto that horse. And I was like, that can't be good for the horse's back.
Oh my God.
At one point when they lose Sindel on a horse somehow. And again, I looked down for a second and she was off to the races on this horse. I didn't understand how they got away from her. You see a shot of one of the Ewoks getting onto the horse, and it is such a large Ewok. Mm-hmm. There is occasionally, Wicket is the appropriate size of an Ewok. There are occasionally Ewoks that are slightly bigger than Wicket, and it is not what you want to see out of an Ewok.
Nope.
Like that Ewok riding a horse, and it was, they did not get, like, it looked like either a very small horse or a very large Ewok.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it was a problem. It was a real problem.
The proportions are like really important with the Ewoks. And that's why the teeth can be really upsetting, because sometimes they'll have like really big teeth and like, and it's like sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So there's a little bit of trivia about this movie. No. So the Ewok language was based on Tibetan.
Oh,
I feel like that's rude. Insulting to the people.
I was
going to
say, seems not great. Eyelids had to be created for the sleeping Ewoks because the original masks used in Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, didn't have them. They were digitally added to the Blu-ray release. What do you feel about when they add things like to the releases later? How do you feel about that when they update something with the new technology?
I think this is the remastered original trilogy is a really good example of doing it mostly well. I haven't watched the remakes in a long time, but I remember like the last time I watched it, probably like a year and a half, 2 years ago, thinking like, oh, I like that they added Jabba the Hutt to A New Hope. Mm-hmm. You know, it like does sort of like add something to the trilogy aspect of it. I did not, I'm sorry to say, notice that they added eyelids digitally to the Ewoks. I wasn't looking for that.
And are
rewatch.
You really a fan, Joel?
I guess not.
I mean, not. Come on. The movie was finished in 9 weeks, which is, I would say, eight more weeks than I thought they shot.
It seems really long.
So 6 weeks of shooting, 1 week of reshoots, and 2 weeks of dubbing.
Okay. What did they dub and what did they reshoot?
I definitely noticed some lines of the little girls that were not matching ADR. And so I'm sure that the kids messed up so many times. They're like, we'll just get it later. And then they spent 2 weeks trying to get them to say it right in a room. One of the early working titles was the Ewok Holiday Special. Well, that's a bad title because nothing holiday happens.
Yeah. Not one holiday thing. There wasn't a mention of Life Day or Hanukkah or Ramadan or Christmas.
I would watch a full hour of the Ewoks celebrating Life Day. I really would. That seems good to me.
Yeah, that's fun. This was trash.
I would watch a porn of an Ewok fucking a Wookiee.
I would watch that. I would watch that absolutely.
On Life Day.
On Life Day. On Life Day is the only day it's allowed to happen.
The end of the movie for me was wild because there was like extra monsters. There was like a spider monster. And I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Again, with the lack of creativity, you're going to give me a big monster. First of all, every monster is something that either exists on Earth or is just a larger version of an Ewok. Like that's we got a big spider and a big Ewok. And that's the extent of the creativity that we're seeing.
And the way he kills him is by just like throwing a hatchet at him where he can't reach. Are you kidding? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So when they get to the the lair when the parents are in the thing. By the way, the parents seem fine.
They were absolutely fine. They were like in a treehouse chilling.
I wrote down, these people are from Wisconsin. Like there's no, like I wouldn't say that the Star Wars movies have like a house style of acting by any means, but no one's even attempting to pretend that they're on an alien planet.
No. And no one's weirded out by, like only Mace hates the Ewoks, but it seems unfounded because they're like on this other planet where everything is weird and they are taking care of his sister. Like, I don't really understand why he hates them so much and is unwilling to listen to them. So I found that annoying.
Puberty.
And then the parents, the parents are like next to that like disgusting thing. Uh-huh. And they're just kind of like, you're here. And then the boy climbs into the cage with them and they're like, yay. Like it seems like they're not really in a hurry to get out.
No, nobody seems like they're in peril.
Well, yeah. And it doesn't, it's never quite clear what this creature is holding them for.
No.
Like, wouldn't the creature just immediately eat them? Like, that's the vibe that it gives off, certainly. Well, and then to find out that it's just keeping these things in parents in a cage, it's sort of like, well, why?
Maybe he was keeping the parents in the cage because he was like, I know you probably have kids. These kids will come. And I'm very hungry. And then surely they made friends on the planet. And those friends will come too. And then I'll have me a buffet.
Yeah.
Oh, and how does Sindel get sick? Was that the beginning of this one?
Yes.
Where she's like really sick and she's like dying. Yeah. And then the Ewok comes in with a flower.
She's got that wet mouth. She's got the wet mouth. And then they feed her like leaf juice.
A leaf. Yeah.
Yes.
It was very weird.
And then she's still coughing. And he's like, she needs more. More. And it's like, these Ewoks have helped you a lot, dude.
I will say, I think that one of like the big improvements between these movies is the first one is directed so poorly because there's so many lingering beats of silence. Like the moment where he's like, Sindel, eat. Why aren't you eating? I don't feel so. It's like, why was there 3 seconds of dead air between her response where nothing on camera is happening?
And the movie could be like 30 minutes shorter without that stuff.
I mean,
for sure.
All the Star Wars movies are too long. So they're all 2 hours, 2+ hours. Mm-hmm. This one was an hour and a half. This one truly could have been 45 minutes. And I think I would have gotten everything I needed.
Yeah.
I think I would have liked it more. I mean, this is one of the problems I think we keep finding is like, all these movies like overstay their welcome. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like into it up to a point. And then I'm like, okay, come on. Like, oh, now it's going this whole other direction. Like if they made them all 2 hours or less to begin with, and then I would say an hour and a half max, I feel that would be amazing. They'd be like,
well,
really
good. Yeah. Cause let's be honest here. These movies aren't like reinventing the wheel in terms of like what kind of story they're telling. Like it's all very recognizable tropes. Like I feel like, they could absolutely be an hour 45. And
like,
we don't need to see the inner machinations of how the clone factory works, George. Like, there's no reason for it. And yet he thinks we want it. And he will eat it right up.
I mean, but I mean, many do.
We kind of are just eating all of it right up.
Yeah, we played right into his hands.
Truly. This was his grand plan for Nicole Byer and Lauren Lapkus to consume all his content and talk about it for money.
Okay, I think we need to take a break, but we'll be right back. We'll talk about the other one.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
On a far distant world of enchanting beauty, a family of lost travelers find shelter and friendship among the Ewoks, peaceful guardians of the forest. But the peace is shattered. An evil storm sweeps the planet Endor, threatening the Ewoks' very existence.
Run fast, run!
And a courageous Earth child is left orphaned, hunted by the cruel armies of an insatiable warlord.
All I want is the power.
Don't be foolish. Do what he says.
It's a breathtaking adventure that soars to extremes of heroism and treachery.
There's no escape for you, my little one.
But there is hope. A shipwrecked adventurer and his speedy sidekick join forces with the Ewoks. Their mission? Penetrate a fortress of death and rescue their friend. It's a desperate scheme that unleashes the rage of a demented tyrant. From the creator of Star Wars comes a dazzling adventure, a timeless fable of courage and conflict, of bravery, innocence, and unspeakable evil. Featuring Wilfred Brimley and the visual mastery of George Lucas. Take a journey to the far reaches of your imagination. Ewoks, The Battle for Endor. Coming to your family from MGM UA Home Video.
The next movie is called Ewoks Battle for Endor.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the details. It was released November 1985, just a few months after I was born.
Wow.
How old are you, Nicole?
I was born in 86, so I was thought.
Yeah. You were a twinkle in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
This story was also by George Lucas.
Slightly better.
This one's better. And this one should be the only one. Like,
yes.
You really don't need... This one has more stakes. It's just a little more exciting. More kind of things that make sense to me happen. I don't know.
I think it's more imaginative too. Like, notice there were no horses in this one. They gave us these claymation creatures that they were riding around on, which I appreciated to an extent. Like, there was more happening. It did feel less science fiction-y though, and more like fantasy.
You know what it reminded me of? Did you ever, like, we watched it in school all the time, I think, for some reason, but The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe,
movie
that was like the PBS version or something. We always watched that. This reminded me of that. And like, I feel like the evil witch lady was kind of like that.
Yeah. Okay. I see that.
Yeah. It gave me, I wrote down Power Rangers. Like,
She did remind me of Rita Repulsa.
Yes. Yes.
The acting exactly the same.
And I was into her.
Wait,
honestly.
Was the dad different in this one?
Yes, he was recast with the guy from Breakfast Club.
Yes, the principal.
Okay. He's the principal, yeah.
I thought it was savage of them to immediately kill off every member of the family. Immediately.
Yeah,
like the second thing that happens in this film is they off-camera murder the mom, couldn't get her back for a day rate, and then... in a very confusing way, kill Mace. I didn't understand how Mace died.
Me either. And I didn't realize until he was dead until she was like, he's dead.
Yeah.
And I was like,
And the dad was like, I know. And I was like,
and
cry?
There was like no stakes. Nobody seemed super upset about these deaths.
Well, here's my question. So the dad gets away with Sindel and he's sitting there and he's like, no, you have to go and live with the Ewoks now.
Mm-hmm.
Go, go. And it was like, well, like, you've already escaped. Like, you seem to be giving up quite early. Like,
he let himself get attacked. Yeah, stayed there.
I was like, you could have maybe try a little harder instead of just pawning off your daughter on the fucking Ewoks.
Well, he was
so
probably
easily.
Like, she's so annoying. This is my moment. I can fucking get away from this curly haired freak and start a new life, get a new fucking family, try again.
It is truly like insane what happens to her and the people she meets and ends up with. I mean, we'll get into it. What were you going to say, Joel?
I was going to say she's got some filters in this one. Like, she looks expensive in the sequel. I'm going to say, like, they put some Vaseline on that camera and she no longer looks wet or dry to me. She looks dewy. She looks soft.
Yeah.
Like, they did some work and she got some coaching. I honestly had to look up and see if it was the same girl, because I thought it was much better in the second one.
She was more confident. She walked with a certain like gravitas. She was walking next to the Ewoks and talking at the same time. I was like, this is hard.
In the first one, I was worried she didn't understand that she was in a movie. And this like felt like a little girl who was acting, not like a little girl who was trapped on this set and made to believe she was living reality.
I mean, you think she's a better actress Sure, but the bar was so low, you know?
Yeah.
It truly was. And also, like, thinking about child actors, it's really mind-boggling, but, like, yeah, thinking of her in that first movie, there's probably a part of her that kind of thought it was real.
Yeah. Probably, like, yeah, she's little.
Yeah, and with those characters walking around her that seem real, I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
We didn't get a lot of... We didn't get a lot of mace action like in either movie, but like the deaths. Wait, to go back really quickly to the first one, when he sees the ugliest Ewok die, I would say the ugliest Ewok that we've ever seen.
That death was so fucked up.
So bizarre. And then the Ewok is, and he's like, and again, it's the bad acting repeating where he's like, no, you have to stay alive. You have to stay alive.
Friend.
No. Your friend, like,
it was just don't die.
Insane.
It's like, you can't cut die. Away, cut away.
It was so bad. Here's a little bit of the synopsis. On the forest moon of Endor, the Tawani family are preparing to leave, but now in the beginning of the second venture, Wicket and Sindel must face off against the evil marauders. The marauders capture all the Ewoks and kill Sindel's family. That's in the first minute.
Yeah, truly.
On their journey, they meet Noah, an old hermit who is also looking for a way home, and his small but fast companion, Teek, who I have a lot of thoughts about. Yeah. Now, let's talk about Teek. I feel like I know people who look like Teek.
Do you guys remember, I can't remember, like, if it was Mad TV or, do you remember Jackalope, the do you know what I'm talking about?
Jackalope. It's like the animal?
It's like a rabbit
and an antelope.
With horns?
Yes.
It's like a big, strong bunny.
And it was like mischievous. And it was, that's what Teek reminded me of. Yeah. I also was like super into Teek until I realized that Teek was very large. Like when they first showed Teek, Teek seems very small.
It was a puppet.
Yeah.
I also thought it was a puppet.
And then when he's down on the ground, I'm like, oh, he's the same size as Wicked. Mm-hmm. Not interested.
I wanted him to be really small, like a squirrel.
He would have been cuter if he was smaller, because him big, he was really upsetting to look at. Do you know what I mean?
Like, his eyes did not blink. No. I was very aware of that. When he was sad, he was like, ah, like his eyes would open and his hands would just move in front of them. Like, it was really, really weird. And he lives with that asshole old man.
Noah, who I wrote down, I said, okay, MAGA Santa. That's like the vibe that I was getting from old Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh my God. It's so also true. And he was like so mean.
What? His name is just straight up Noah, which is like.
But that's a Star Wars thing. Like some people are like, they have the weirdest name. And then, Ben Solo. And you're like,
It can be anything.
It can be anything.
So together, the four friends try to rescue the Ewoks. Four friends seems like a stretch.
It's a huge stretch. They're acquaintances, things that just happen to be together.
Noah kicked Sindel and the Ewok out of his place, like when they had nowhere to go.
And there's no, they don't really delve into why Noah is the way he is, like at all. Like but then he immediately changes course and is like, okay, you can build your fire. Fires can only be built in my house. So by that logic, I guess I have to let you in my house. Okay. What?
And I mean, imagine like a 4-year-old coming to your house and being like, I have nowhere to go. You're like, get the fuck out. It's like so mean.
With this like little Ewok who now, okay, this movie, it really did feel like this movie took some of my notes. Like I read my notes as I was watching the first movie and they were like, okay, we're gonna make some adjustments. Mainly we're gonna let the Ewoks speak English now.
Yes. Just get to the point faster. Yes.
Really did.
But
save.
I wanted them to speak actual English. Like this was like little bits of English and like slow talking. And I was like, just talk.
They were
normal.
Taught by a 4-year-old, Nicole.
Okay, fair. Okay. Yes. Okay. That is correct.
What about the part where they were in that wagon?
Yes.
And then they had to like.
and then Sindel's like, Wicket's smaller than all the rest of you. And it's like, okay, shut up, you rude bitch.
Rude.
Like, first of all, he's
you're
not.
You're smaller than him. Like,
he's not, but Wicket wasn't significantly smaller than any of the other Ewoks.
No, she was just being rude.
No.
Yeah, she was.
And then what I kind of was like skipping a little bit at that point, just to kind of brush through it a little bit. I was scrubbing. And And that part, I was like, okay, so I guess they're going to like cut a hole and put her in it or something. So what ended up happening there?
there was just a structural defect in the cage. That's all it was. Is they were like, there's a hole in the bottom of this cage, but only the smallest among us can fit through it. Mm. And so they were like, okay, I guess it's Wicket and Sindel. But again, I say all the Ewoks, except for the ones that are a little bit too big, were the same size and they could have all escaped. It was very strange.
Yeah.
It's almost as though we were watching a movie, not a documentary.
What about the part where that evil witch lady like steals Sindel and throws her over the horse thing and it's just like legs hanging off of it? Do you see that?
Yes,
but and also rushing through puddles, and I just kept thinking of Sindel's face getting splashed every time that horse was galloping mm-hmm. through the water, because it absolutely would have happened, and it filled me with so much joy. You imagine that. I was also so confused about the MacGuffin in this movie. I was so confused about like why this like alien guy wanted it. Like, wait, how he found out about...
Yeah, what's...
The MacGuffin is the power. It's, like, the object that, like, you know, like, every adventure, action adventure object uh-huh. that everyone is, like, chasing or looking for or, like, protecting. And, like, in this case, it's like, something from their ship. But it's not really explained very mm-hmm. well why he's after it. Like, it's sort of in... You sort of get that like they're primitive, but they also have laser blasters. So
yeah. Well, now then that makes me ask the question, is this in the future like all the Star Wars movies, or is the past? Right? Because didn't we find out it was in the future?
Well, it's
Star Wars is in the past.
Star Wars is in the past.
I still don't get it.
Which we just living in found out.
Yeah.
I still don't get it.
Which is
this
so
movie
crazy.
Takes place. This movie. Well, I also want to say there's a huge. I have a huge problem with this movie, which is chronologically it takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So this supposedly takes place before Leia and crew end up on the planet. And what we see in Return of the Jedi is these creatures do not speak English. So we are but Wicket is Leia's friend. So why isn't Wicket speaking fucking English? In Return of the Jedi, I ask you this, George Lucas.
Oh, I think I have an answer, because Sindel left and he had nobody to practice with.
Oh, that does happen. I do delete. Yeah. If I don't get on Duolingo.
Yeah. Yep. Duolingo sent me 2 emails yesterday and I was like, this is getting aggressive.
Duolingo was like, are you still alive? Like, I get like weird updates from them.
And Wicket was like, wee-wah, wee-wah. I don't want to learn you. Click ignore.
Okay, so together the 4 friends try to rescue the Ewoks, facing off against a whole army of evil marauders led by King Tarek, a witch named Sheral, and a bloodthirsty dragon.
Sheral! Okay. Sheral, who can turn into a blonde and a crow. That is the extent of her magical
powers.
Oh,
she was the crow.
Yes.
I was like, why is that crow taking off after Sindel?
No, yeah. So she's a witch with 2 spells. She can turn into a gorgeous blonde. Mm-hmm. She can turn into a crow. And that's the extent of her usefulness, apparently.
And she wants the little girl, which seems like something you wouldn't want to deal with.
That's so insane to me. Nobody wants that little girl.
No. You want to read some of this trivia?
Yeah.
Here?
So according to an interview with Warwick Davis, a second sequel known only by the working title Ewoks 3 was in the planning stages not too long after the Ewoks, the Battle of Endor. The film, however, never got made. Praise be.
Oh, my God.
I will say Warwick slays in this. Like, he does a lot with a little, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine filming it? Everyone in the Star Wars franchise, there's at least one person in a suit that's uncomfortable. But Warwick like slays. Like I really got something from Warwick in this.
And there's so much physicality in those costumes. Mm-hmm. They have to like roll around. And I mean, that seems really hard with that head on.
He was 14. He was 14.
Really?
Warwick Davis was 14 when he shot this movie.
Wow.
That's so confusing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's so confusing.
I've been picturing an adult
the
whole time.
Adult. No.
He was.
Oh my God.
Huh.
Okay, well, as with the previous film, this movie is a spin-off from the original Star Wars trilogy, but fans remain undecided as to whether these two films should be considered part of the official Star Wars canon. Since the acquisition of Disney from Lucasfilms, this has now become part of Legends and therefore not canon. So I guess that's how they get away with that.
When the film aired on ABC in 1985, a viewer warning came on to warn younger viewers of the film's content. Tonight's continuing fantasy adventure of Sidel and the Ewoks contains some scenes of suspense and jeopardy, which may be too intense for very young viewers. Parents are encouraged to watch with their children. The film is rated PG by the MPPA for mild, intense slash disturbing images of sci-fi violence, action, and some startling moments.
We are so desensitized now.
I guess so. We truly watched a whole family get murdered and we were like, okay, what's next?
Well, we didn't really watch it though, because what happens is she stumbles on Mace and then a background body is sort of laid on the ground, no face shown. And then we're not really... there's no indication that she's dead at this point. We don't. And then he drags his mother's lifeless body into a hut that then I think gets blown up.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was really weird. He was really strong.
Yeah, very strong.
I can't believe he agreed. I mean, I guess he wasn't getting a whole lot of other offers. But if I got that script and I was like, you mean I do what in the first what minute? Find somebody else.
But like when you think about this being on TV with that intense warning, and then like we just have shows like How to Get Away with Murder on ABC where like kids can just see like people having sex basically. Oh my God. Okay, so what are our new thoughts on Ewoks now that we've watched this? I mean, I had always thought Ewoks were my favorite, and now I'm less charmed.
I liked Ewoks not enough for a full movie. And then after watching it, I don't think I like Ewoks. I really hate their teeth. They really upset me. And they're just like kind of bumbling. Like every, so like also like the Chewbaccas, what are they? Those are
Wookiees.
Wookiees are also like kind of bumbling people too, or creatures. So it's like, are any creatures in the Star Wars universe not bumbling? Do any of them have their shit together?
They're all dogs with varying degrees of like balance.
Yes.
like that's basically all that's going on there. I will say, so my favorite of the original trilogy is Return of the Jedi, which is not like a popular opinion, but I love closure and I love joy. And
is that,
I
think that's that the third one of the originals? Yeah. That one's my favorite.
I think that's the one
too.
I like too. Yeah.
Most people rep really hard for Empire Strikes Back because it's the darkest and it's the most adult. And they specifically cite the Ewoks as like the franchise sort of delving back into like family fun territory. But I think Return of the Jedi has the exact right amount of Ewoks. Like,
yeah, I think so too. It's like really fun and like memorable. And that was the only one I saw as a kid or that I remember. And all I remember was the Ewoks and I loved it.
And
so,
and there's something more fun about watching the Ewoks murder humans than murder these like strange alien creatures. Cause you know, at that last, those last moments when they're like storming Sindel and like all the traps are being set and they're like doing fun little catapults and like all that stuff, is they're just trying to recreate the Battle of Endor in Return of the Jedi, where the Ewoks are like, and this, people like have problems with this because they're like, the Empire is like such a powerful military force and they're sort of like done in by 2x4s like et cetera and catapults, but like I'm fine with it because the Ewoks have been around for a while and they don't get that way by not being savvy with a 2x4, you know? But yeah, this was too much time, way too much time spent with these fucking things.
Joel, what is like your favorite Ewok adjacent type character? Like weird kind of side thing.
So this was also sort of my problem with the new movies is that I found they kept trying to add too many of them. Mm-hmm. But I would say I have two that I really do love. I do love a porg.
Okay, we like the porgs.
The porgs are fun and they are very cute and the exact right size. You know,
like, did you know that there were like these real, it was like penguins or ducks or something,
puffins
that was walking, puffins that I just mixed those two that were walking around and they were like, they had to CGI them out of the background. So they made up porgs just to do that.
I love that. I did not know that. And then my other favorite also from the second movie, the fish nuns. I love a fish nun.
What's a fish nun?
The fish nuns are from the second one. I get them all confused. Rise of Skywalker or whatever.
Oh, Last Jedi.
The fish nuns that are on the planet that Luke is hiding out on. And they're all like sort of, they're all sort of like, nah, you know, like they're like frustrated with Rey because she keeps making a mess.
Oh, yes. I love them. They're fun.
Yeah. The fish nuns are my favorite new creations. But yeah, I guess I didn't like in this last, I didn't like in the last one, I didn't like that they added a robot with PTSD. Like I just like didn't need, I didn't need Babu Frick. Like it just,
I love Babu Frick.
See now Babu Frick is an example. Babu Frick is an example of a creature going too small for me.
See, I liked how small he was.
I thought he needed to be slightly bigger, but I just felt like it was bait. And I was like, I'm not taking the Babu Frick bait.
I took the bait really
hard.
Wait,
did you like Baby Yoda? Did you watch The Mandalorian?
I did watch The Mandalorian and I did succumb to Baby Yoda. I really did enjoy Baby Yoda. Again, perfect size. Mm-hmm. I wish all the Yodas were that size.
That one is really perfect.
So
that one's
cute.
So cute.
Some of my friends got like the actual puppets from that, like, or remakes of the puppets that arrived because they were all so back ordered. They arrived like 2 weeks into quarantine and were so jarring to like see. It's like no one's talking about Baby Yoda right now. Like, what a time for baby. Like, imagine forgetting you bought a Baby Yoda puppet and then it arrives 2 weeks into a traumatic global event. Like, it's not the time.
That is honestly so funny. So you order a Baby Yoda, you go about your life, a global pandemic happens, you forget you ordered it, and then you're like, ding dong, what the fuck? I can't believe I wasted money on this.
That said, we did get Ewok backpack. I mean, Yoda backpacks. Yoda backpacks from Jake and Amir, and we were really excited about those.
That is exciting.
We've been talking about them for about 100 episodes.
Where did you put yours, Lauren?
It's hanging on a chair in my dining room right now.
Mine is sitting on a shoebox in my room. And every morning I wake up and go, there's a small child who's going to kill me. And then I go, that's just Yoda. And it half scares me awake every fucking day. I have got to move it.
You need to move it. It needs to be in a less unpredictable spot.
So many interesting creatures, I feel. They could have, like, I would have loved like a canteen movie about the
Yes. See, like, that would be fun.
Literally anything, and they choose to do this instead, and that's why, like, I feel like we as Star Wars fans, and I'm not including you in this, we as Star Wars fans are the most put upon and sort of disrespected fan base, because we put all our stock in someone who does not respect us and is bad at his job.
But this is why it's so confusing, because you're fans, yet you all hate these films.
It is
so
true.
That's why I always get confused. I'm like, wait, well, then what? Why are you a fan? Like, I mean, I
love the original trilogy, and I love the book series, and I love a lot of the comic books, and I love some of the video games, but
so just nothing else lives up to that.
No. Yeah. I think like it really did, like, for me, start as like, it's something you have to come to as a child. Like, I really do not think that if I watched Star Wars, I came to it like you guys are as an adult, I don't think I would love it nearly as much, because I just don't think that it holds up. And I think, like, even rewatching some of the originals, which I will go to bat for a little bit harder than some of the other ones, you're like, oh, this is for children.
Yeah.
But like, there are a kind of, like, I'm sorry, but like, I Love You, I Know is such a great movie moment, I think. Like, it is like,
oh, that part.
Oh,
was
where
that when
Hans and Leia have a little moment? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's such an iconic movie moment, and for a reason. And like, I think breaking Han out of Jabba's palace, that whole cold open is one of the best cold opens in like action adventure movie history.
Wait, which one?
In Return of the Jedi, when they're all escaping from the Sarlacc pit and Leia's in disguise as a bounty hunter.
You know.
Nicole.
I gotta say.
He's in Carbonite.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
truly,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
After I see the movies and then talk about them, they leave my
that's how
zeitgeist.
I feel too, but then when we're quizzed, we ace it.
Yes.
So there
it does come back out.
I said Carbonite and you knew.
I did, because that's like the big bronze playing card.
Yes.
Like, where people are inside.
Yes. Yes. Which I found quite terrifying as a child. I did not enjoy it.
I mean, it is scary. And then they use it again in The Mandalorian. That's how he scoops people.
Oh.
Right?
You didn't get that far? You stopped at Amy, you got to Amy Sedaris and you're like, I've seen enough.
I haven't gotten to the Amy Sedaris part. Is in it?
Yes.
We are going to watch that. I think we are going to watch more of it. Right? I don't know.
Who knows?
It's all up to Daddy and Mommy Headgum. They say Mandalorian. You say how much?
Well, oh Joel, my God. Do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, so me and Matt Rogers are doing a really stupid recap podcast of our own called Matt, Joel, and the Next Elle Woods. And it is about a little watched reality competition show called Legally Blonde, a musical colon, The Search for the Next Elle Woods that happened in 2008.
On MTV?
Yep. Yes. And we're about to record our last episode. And it's all on Patreon. It's Patreon/MattJoelElle. And it's like $5 for the entire season. And all the money is going to the Eviction Defense Network here in LA, which is a nonprofit that's working to keep low-income families in their homes during this time.
That's fucking so great.
Yes. So it is dumb, but it is for a good cause. And I would love for you to listen to that. And you can also listen to Urgent Care, my other podcast with Mitra Tahari, which is not going to charity. It's going straight.
You have to get an income.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Nicole, what do you want to plug?
I have a book coming out on June 2nd. It's called #VeryFatVeryBrave. What?
Or tomorrow or something.
Is it?
Based on when this is. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So it's here.
Wow.
It's a self-help guide. It is not a memoir, as some people on Goodreads have reviewed it poorly because there isn't enough words, but I never said there was going to be more words. I have other podcasts, Why Won't You Date Me, Best Friends, Drag Her, 90 Day Bae, and Nailed It on Netflix. Lauren, what would you like to promote?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Lauren Lapkus, and I have a Patreon under Lauren Lapkus where I'm doing like watch-alongs and improv podcasts and all sorts of fun stuff. There's videos, there's content, lots of content already there, like 40 hours or something up there now. And I am also in The Wrong Missy on Netflix, which you can watch on Netflix, like I said. So that's that.
We did it.
We did it. Should we read a 5 Star Wars review?
Yes, let's do that.
Of this movie?
Of this podcast.
I was like, you guys found a 5-star review of the fucking Ewoks movies?
Honestly, God, we would have to have them on the podcast if anyone reviewed the Ewok movie as 5 stars.
I would love to have an interview with someone who played an Ewok and know all about this experience of making this movie. Ooh. I want to know the backstory.
Well, Warwick Davis
is
still alive, so I bet you could get him.
You could try to get him.
Yeah, maybe he would do it. Probably not. He'd probably be like, I don't want to ever talk about this movie.
This review is called May the Force Fanfic You. I read that wrong, but it's by Gurs on Ice. Mon Mothma paces the floor of the briefing room at Echo Base. Her incredibly long neck can barely hold the weight of the space atrocities she has witnessed. A memory of Bail Organa whispering in her ear stirs something inside her. A shiver runs down her spine. Whether the memory of Organa and his queen Breha or from the frosty winds of Hoth, she cannot tell. A small cough alerts her to Princess Leia's silhouette in the doorway. Aunt Mothma, says Leia, are you thinking about my parents again? Yes, I miss their warmth beside me as we ate grapes in their bed on Alderaan, says Mon Mothma, touching her extremely tall neck. Okay, says Leia, well, I just wanted to tell you about this dope future podcast I've been listening to. We're two of the best comedians of the future year, 2020 CE. Learn about our wars for the first time. In a galaxy far, far away, they talk to huge nerds and it's extremely funny. But Mothma is not listening, only dreaming of her two lovers and how they had been exploded by the Death Star.
Wow. Jimmy Smits, Bail Organa.
Yes.
Love.
We did see that.
I love that. I love the trivia of who played Natalie Portman's body doubles in the prequels, which is so
Isn't
fun.
It like Keira Knightley?
And Rose Byrne.
Oh, crazy. I didn't know
it's
Rose
crazy.
Byrne, too.
It's Keira Knightley and Rose Byrne play her attendants. It's so funny.
It's so wild.
We
the
all
three
gotta
of them
start somewhere.
Truly look so much alike, but yet they were all allowed to have 3 separate careers.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
And yet here we all are stuck in the same podcast.
Yeah, I guess if we all looked alike, we'd be on different podcasts.
Oh, my God. Well, It was all worth it to have this fun time with you, Joel.
Yes, yeah, Joel, thank you so much.
I was angry at you for assigning these movies, but I've forgiven you now because this was such a fun time.
So. I'm so sorry that this is the movie I had you
I'm
watch.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry
I'm
to everyone.
So sorry.
I really commend anyone who's so devoted to this podcast specifically that they watch the movies just to listen to the podcast.
So do we. This, I mean, I have heard from some people who had never seen Star Wars who are going along with us to experience it, which I think is a fun way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's some people who aren't watching the movies, but they're just listening. So I love them for that.
Real psychos. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, the craziest people are the ones who have not seen Star Wars, but listen to this
or
without watching Star Wars.
The smartest, because they know a little bit of information to talk to a man that's like super into it that they're trying to date, or woman, or whoever.
That is so true, because you get like all the basic facts and you can make fun of it in a great way.
You could steal jokes. Yeah. We're doing a service for people.
Huge, huge.
Huge. Okay, well, thanks, Joel.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Nicole, that was fun. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.